Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Scott McKenna Podcast. This is a podcast that I've wanted to create for a while. I wanted to make a video about this for a while. I've wanted to do a lot of things that would allow me to have this just kind of available for people because so many of you ask, and it is simply, how did you get started in video production? How did you get started with weddings? How did you get started with video in general? And the story is pretty cool when I think back on it, and I think back to kind of what has brought me to today. So just about 24 hours, 48 hours ago, I officially launched my brand new company, Scaling Creative, and I'm just really, really excited about it. And it feels like kind of years worth of buildup to this, and it essentially is, but in obviously a different way because obviously I've been doing video production for the last bunch of years. But Scaling Creative is a whole new journey, a whole new excitement for me because of so many different reasons. So for those who don't know, I started playing guitar. I started playing music at 13 years old. And at 13 years old, I decided I wanted to play music. It was something that I was super excited about. I learned guitar, took a couple of guitar lessons. I got really pumped up about it. I decided it was kind of what I wanted to do forever. And so I started playing, became obsessed with it. One thing that I think I've always done is when I take on something, even at a young age, when I decide to do something, I go full in on it. Like I don't go in halfway and kind of decide if I want to do it. I literally just go all in. If tomorrow you invited me to do something I've never done before, I would try to be the best at it because I'm just a competitive person, but I also just love just doing new things. So when I decided to go into guitar, I decided to take it seriously and I started learning as much as I possibly could. I naturally started to sing and just do some things in like my living room and in my bedroom and felt like maybe this was something that I could do. So I decided to take it pretty seriously. And 4 years later, when I was 17 years old, I was a junior in high school. I got my first gig and I started to go to a bunch of different open mics all over the area and just started to promote myself by just kind of showing up and performing and hoping that some of the venues that I performed at would hire me. And that's what happened. And I slowly started to do more and more gigs and I was playing music full time at 18 years old out of high school. And that's what I did full time for the next 7 or 8 years. I got the chance to travel all around the country and perform around colleges and festivals and colleges and just about anywhere that would hire me. I think I did close to 1,000 or 1,200 shows or so in about 5 or 6 years. I just performed a lot and I absolutely loved it. And during that time, I always was kind of filming to a point when I was early into music. Not necessarily like I was desiring to be a filmmaker, but I remember getting a really, really crappy camcorder with mini DV tapes. And I started filming things, and at the time, I wouldn't really edit things. I would just kind of film things and plug it into the TV and watch it. And that obviously is where the love for video started, which I never really realized. But so fast forward a couple of years, and I was playing around, and I got myself a little Flip Minnow HD camcorder or camera, whatever they called it. I'm sure some of you know what that is. It was this little tiny camera that you could push the button on the side, and it would flip up the USB cable, and you could like plug it right into the computer and watch and import stuff. And it was awesome. It was high definition. I remember it was like revolutionary. So I got that. And I remember I would bring it along everywhere that I was to just kind of document what I was doing. I was always obsessed with like documenting things just for the sake of me being able to look back at it. You know, when I started quote unquote documenting my life, I was really young, so it's not like I had YouTube. I didn't have all those different places to share it. Facebook at that time wasn't even really available if you weren't in college, so I didn't even have that. I just literally filmed it. And because of that reason, I don't really have anything to show for it because I don't have any of that footage because it's not as easy as it is now to, you know, have a place like Google Drive and YouTube and places that you can just save stuff for free. It didn't exist then, so it was just external hard drives and things that filled up really quick, and because of that, I ended up just not being able to save any. So I really don't have any of that old footage, which is like a super bummer to me, but it is what it is. But naturally, I started to just do that a lot. And I traveled around a ton and led me all the way till 2008, where in 2008, I had a gig that I had to perform out in Brookings, Oregon, the entire other side of the country from where I'm at in Pennsylvania. And it just so happened that when I went there, being like a tech nerd that I was, the guy that we were staying with, because we stayed with one of the guys that was having us perform at this event, this concert for financial literacy that we had in Oregon. And the guy that actually brought us in, that hired us, allowed us to kind of stay at his house because it's a small town and everybody knows everybody. So it was just more fun to kind of hang out with someone that knew people rather than just being in a hotel and not knowing anybody. So he had us there, and he got a phone call from someone when we were in the car on the way home from the airport asking a question about a Mac. And he was like, "Hey, you're calling at the great time because this guy that I picked up that's in town, whatever, he's like a tech crazy nut." That was me. "And he knows everything there is to know about Macs and about computers and Final Cut and all these different things." So he put me on the phone, and this girl asked me a couple of questions. I helped her with it over the phone, and I said, "Well, I can, you know, I don't have anything going on tomorrow. I'll just come into the school that she was working at and just, you know, help. I can help put together a video or, you know, show you how to use it, whatever." And the next day, I went in and I met Kelsey, who is now my wife. So I tell you all that because without that meeting, so many of the things that I'm about to say, I don't know if they would have happened. So I met her in 2008. We got married in 2009. The following October, we got married. And when I got married, it obviously changed some things in my head because I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I want to play music forever. I don't know if I'm, you know, kind of getting burnt out and tired of just doing the same old thing that I've been doing for years. And I feel like I was having success with it, but it wasn't really like success that I wanted to have forever because it was just, I don't know, I kind of got just tired of it. And so she asked me in 2010 if I wanted to go out and move to Arizona. I had never been there before, but I loved golf and I loved sunshine. And I knew Arizona was really, really well known for those two things. So I said, why not? I'd love to. Let's do it. I can start fresh with my music career. I can do whatever. And so we got up and left that very next year. So we got married in 2009, October 2010. We moved out to Arizona. And right when I got out there, I kind of felt like, you know what? I really don't feel like playing music anymore. I just was kind of tired of the gigging, the trying to find gigs. It just wasn't really exciting to me anymore. So I decided to kind of like possibly look for a job, decide what I wanted to do so I could just enjoy myself. I still gigged when I was out there and still did gigs because I had to make money, but I wasn't making very much at all. Kelsey was making much more money than me working at a credit union. And I was just kind of just doing what I could and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then, so it turns out that we started going to a church out there called Christ Church of the Valley, which is a really large church. And I had never really been to any church other than my home church that was obviously that big at all in my life. So I was kind of shocked when I went there. It was a really big church. They were incredible musicians. The whole experience was just amazing to me. And I kind of got this urge. I was like, man, I really would love to be like a worship leader and just do this more because I really liked it. I had grown up playing in the church. I had grown up doing all that stuff and I just loved doing it. It was so much fun to me, but I never really had looked at it of like, maybe I could do this. Maybe I would actually enjoy this. So for the next couple of years, I became really, really passionate about doing that as my job. But more importantly, I was around so many people that had a lot of tech experience because of what they were doing at the church. There was all these opportunities for me to learn more about tech, learn more about how to make things happen with Ableton and different just behind the scenes things. And so I just got really into that and loved it. And then as I was a volunteer there at that church during that time. And then another church contacted them, a little startup church, and they said, you know, do you have any worship leaders that might be interested in, you know, helping us? We're just starting out. And, you know, they were a big church, so they were a resource that a lot of churches would reach out to. And they said, yeah, you know what? There's a guy named Scott. I think that he'd be great for your church. So they connected me with this other church, and I started leading worship for them. Small little church. I would just do things on Sunday, and I'd still be able to attend CCV on Saturday services. And so I was there at that church, that little church, for maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so, 3 to 6 months. And one of the random Sundays we were there, a video company came in and they were doing some sort of little promo for the church, but really more of a promo for like kind of their, I think they were really doing it more like showcasing what they could do from a video standpoint. And it turns out that they might have, I don't know if they knew someone from our church or what it was, but they filmed a little promo. I remember I obviously knew video at this time, so I was watching them do their thing, whatever, and they were shooting on all, I believe, 5D Mark IIs it probably was at that time, maybe Mark IIIs, but oh no, you know what? I think it might have been 7Ds. 7Ds they might have been shooting on. And I remember going up to them thinking, you know, I knew a lot of stuff, and I was like, yeah, why do you guys use those cameras? You know, at that time, I was kind of shooting some stuff with, you know, my dad's company and different people. And I had the XH-A1 Canon, which is like, you know, a big camcorder with big XLR inputs, all that kind of stuff. So I was thinking I was shooting on some good stuff. They were like, oh, we really like it. It gives us lens choice and depth of field, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever that means, that's fine. And then I remember watching the promo they did for our church and being like, man, that was really good. Like, it looks really good. Like, it sounds good. And then I was like, what does this company do? And I went on their website, and it turns out that they were wedding cinematographers. And I remember I saw the very first wedding ever that I saw on their website. It was like the very first one I clicked. I instantly was like, this is really cool. But not only is it really cool, I think I can do this. Like, I think I understand what they're doing. I just haven't really thought about doing it. I understand now what they're talking about with the cameras. I don't have any of these cameras, but I can get them. Like, I understand, like, shots and editing, and I understand the process. So, you know what? I think I want to try it. And like I told you before, when I decide to do something, I go all in. It's just always how I've been. I've never been anything different. 2 days later, I placed a $6,000 order on B&H for 2 T4Is with a Canon 24-105, a 70-200, and I believe maybe like the 51-8 Canon. And then I got myself a little recorder for audio, an H4N at the time, Rode VideoMic Pro, all those things. And I said, I'm going to do it. So I posted something on Facebook. This was in November of 2012. So we had been in Arizona now for 2.5 years. In November of 2012, or maybe December, I posted something on Facebook that was, hey, you know, I'm going to start a business that is going to be wedding cinematography. I'm going to film weddings. And does anybody know anybody getting married? I would love to film their wedding. And I filmed. So I posted that on Facebook. Someone contacted me back that I went to school with that was like, yeah, my friend Melissa is getting married, who I knew. I knew Melissa and I knew the girl that reached out to me. I contacted Melissa and I said, hey, I've never shot a wedding before. Like, are you hiring a videographer? They were like, no, it's not in our budget, whatever. And I said, hey, can I film your wedding? I won't charge you anything at all. I just want to film it. I feel like I can get you something pretty good. Now, like, don't have crazy expectations, and, you know, it's my first time shooting. But even though it was my first time shooting, I kind of, you know, somewhat knew what I was doing. So it wasn't like I was first time filming. It was just filming a wedding. So she said, yeah, of course. Like, that'd be awesome. We didn't have any videographer, so that's great. The wedding was that April. So I had 4.5 months to kind of learn everything I possibly could to be able to know how to film a wedding. And so once again, I wanted to do it well. I didn't want to just barely go at it and not make a good effort toward it. So I went online. Obviously, in early 2013, it wasn't like it is now where you can go on YouTube and type how to film a wedding and you get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos that are so useful and so many tips and tricks. There was not really anything at that time. All there were that I ended up using was like Creative Live. Creative Live I went to, and there was a course from Rob Adams, who now I'm friends with, which is just super cool. But it was a course that he had, you know, how to film. It was like an entire crash course of how to film a wedding. I watched every bit of it. I took notes. I watched it multiple times. I made my wife watch it. I watched everything and learned everything I possibly could to shoot a wedding. And when I got to my first wedding that April of 2013, like, I felt I felt confident. I felt like I knew what I needed to do. Obviously, looking back at the wedding, I wasn't, you know, outstanding. But when I look back at my first wedding ever, I look at it and I'm like, it wasn't that bad. Like, the trailer is pretty decent. Like, I still, like, I've gotten way better. I don't expect it to be as good as we do now, but it wasn't bad, and I was proud of myself for it. But what I really got out of it was, like, I really like this. I love video. I love the fact that I get a chance to give something to somebody that will last forever, that is so impactful to them, and I want to do it. So from there, someone else was a part of that wedding that was getting married that September, and they said, I love what you did for Melissa. Would you film our wedding? And I did. I think I charged $1,000 for that next wedding. And it was just my wife and I. We shot it ourselves. And that's how I started 4LC Studios. I ended up creating the name 4LC Studios right after that second wedding because I just needed to come up with something. I needed to have a name because people were asking me what it was called. So naturally I was like, well, I want, you know, it to be studios of some sort. I wanted it to be, I don't know, something. I'm Irish. Like, four leaf clover sounds cool. So let's make that shorter. 4LC. That's at 4LC Studios. That works. That's fine. And I never changed the name. It wasn't that great of a name. People ask all the time, like, what it means and what the significance of it is. And it's like, it didn't take a lot of time for me to come up with the name. I just didn't overthink it. I think the name is not as important as people think. If you just continue to do good work, people hire you. And that's kind of what I was thinking. So I created that business. And, oh, one thing I forgot to mention that is important, so that you know where I'm at now. April 2013 is when I filmed that first wedding. That's also when we decided to move back to Pennsylvania. So we decided in December of 2012, similar to that same time frame when I bought all the gear, that we were moving back to Pennsylvania because we felt like it was just a better move for us and what we were kind of going through in life. And we wanted to be near my family. And so we moved back to Pennsylvania in April. We were there like maybe the second week of April, we moved back. And then that wedding was that weekend. So we kind of moved back. It was the start of a whole new thing. I was back in my hometown, but I was no longer playing music. I had all these new goals, all these new ideas. So I moved back to Pennsylvania, not like starting my business, and that's what I was going full-time into. I realized I obviously wanted to do it, but I know the reality of when you start any business is like, don't expect to just start and go full-time and immediately. It's just that easy. I still was passionate about leading worship, still wanted to help in any way that I could and continue to do that. So I got hired from the church that I actually grew up in to be a worship leader / like more tech director, kind of bring back some of the things that I learned from Arizona to help them in that aspect. So I got hired from them and I was there working there. That was May of 2013 that I moved back and I got that job. And part of my job at the church was worship leading. Part of it was tech directing. And then some of it was like maybe some video pieces that I could help with. So I did that for 9 months. Yeah, 9 months. And really, really liked it. Loved the church, loved the people, but just felt like it wasn't the place for Kelsey and I. Now that we had been a part of that other church, it felt like there were some opportunities that I feel like I really wanted to explore with a church that was a little bit more current in what they were doing because of what the stuff that I had learned from the other church. And so I reached out to a pastor of the church that my family was actually going to, which was about a half hour from where we lived. And crazy enough, thing happened that the day that I reached out to him, we had lunch. And he said, you know, you have crazy timing because the worship leader that we had, we just decided to, you know, part ways with. So we don't have a worship leader. And we also really could utilize someone that does some more video things. Like, is that something you might be interested in? Maybe helping really on the video efforts. And then, you know, we can see, you know, how you do with worship. And if that's something that you do well, we can use you for that. And I said, sure, that sounds like a great option. He said, well, we'd love to at least see what you can do in terms of video. So, you know, would you be okay filming something for us? And then we could just see how we work together, see the relationship, see the product that comes out, and then we can go from there. And I said, sure, like 100%, I get that, let's do it. So they wanted to do a commercial, or they wanted to do a video that was similar to the commercial, the AT&T style commercial. So you remember the videos, the commercials where the guy sat around the table with all the little kids and he like asked them questions and they answered it. So that's what they wanted to do, a video like that, that was all about the new rebranding of their church. They were changing the name and the logo and the whole idea of what they were. So I did it. I had two cameras at that time. At that time, I now had a 5D Mark III. I bought two 5D Mark IIIs after my second wedding because I felt like I knew what I was doing now and I could use a little bit better equipment. So I bought the 5D Mark III. So I used two 5D Mark IIIs and I used one of their Blackmagic cameras. And at the time, I didn't really know much about those cameras. And so it kind of turned into a little bit of a nightmare because I didn't know how to make it look nice because it shot, you know, in a really flat profile and I didn't know what any of that meant. So I did my best to match it up. Color wasn't perfect. If I look back at it, it definitely wasn't perfect, but I guess I did a pretty good job because they really liked it. They said they liked working with me. They liked the result they got and they think I'd be a great fit. So February 2014, I was hired full time at that church. And the initial goal was video would be a big piece of what I do. And so would worship leading at their night service on Sundays. So they had like a younger 20, 30 year old service called the 603 on Sunday nights. And so the goal was like video will be your specialty, your main thing, but we'll also have you lead worship there. And then I kept doing a lot more video and I kept putting a lot more passion into leading worship as well. And so they decided, you know what? We think you'd be a really good fit for leading worship at our main service and then continuing to do video. So 50-50, video / leading worship. We feel like you're doing a really good job of leading worship for this service and we could use more full-time help in the other service. And then we really like what you're doing with the video side, so we could use help with that as well. So I said, okay, sounds great. That was May 2015. And at this time, I'm getting a lot of experience with video. So I was filming a lot of things for the church as much as I possibly could. Everything from talking head things to little promos for services to just about anything. Stories. I remember I filmed a video very shortly after I got there for one of our Christmas services. And looking back, I realized like, you know, it wasn't that great of a job, but it was better than, you know, they had previously, which is nothing. And I was enjoying it. And like midway through 2015, about a year and a half after I came on staff there, I realized I really liked video stuff. Like I really, really liked it. I loved leading worship, but I realized I loved video and I wanted to continue to get better at that. So I started becoming more and more passionate about learning about lighting and about gear and about every little aspect of it. And I decided to, you know, continue to try to do the best I possibly could in that, because I felt like maybe this was something that I could do for a while. Maybe this was something that I could do well, and maybe even this could be something I could do like full time. Maybe 4LC Studios could be like my full time job. Like that seems like it would be pretty cool to me. I still liked what I did at the church in terms of leading worship, but I felt like, you know, I always had this entrepreneurial bone in my body that naturally wanted to, you know, run my own business and make my own like decisions on things and all that. And so I kind of in my head felt like, I think one day this is what I'm going to do. Like it didn't mean that I was going to just quit and not help the church and not do the best job I could while I was there. But internally, I kind of felt like I knew eventually I was going to be able to do this full time. I just had this gut feeling like, I feel like I understand a few things and I'm good with people. I feel like I can do this. In 2014, my very first year after my initial two weddings, I did seven weddings in 2014. And then in 2015, I did 13 weddings. In 2016, I did, I think, 20 weddings, maybe 19 weddings, something around there. And then in 2017, I was doing 20 or 30. Now, I was doing 20 to 30 weddings while working full time at the church, meaning I was shooting weddings almost every Saturday during the wedding season for the most part, and then leading worship Sunday morning, and then working my 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and then doing it again. And I would work 9 to 5 at the church. I would come home. I would eat. This was before we had kids in 2015 and 16, or early, right before we had kids. And I used to work 9 to 5 at the church, and then I'd come home and I'd edit. I'd edit for hours on end, and 5-6 days a week, I would edit because I had to edit all these weddings, 15-20 weddings. I had to edit them myself. I shot them myself, and I worked a full-time job. But I was all in my head saying, this is what I want to do. Like, so if this is what I want to do, I need to take this seriously, and I need to get better at editing. I needed to get better at everything that I did, and I also needed to work my butt off so that I could actually eventually make this my full-time job. So we eventually had my daughter, which meant, you know, add that to the mix of what was taking up my time, but now I was working full-time. I had a daughter. I still had to be a husband. I had 4LC Studios, about 25 weddings a year, working a ton at that. I started getting some other opportunities at 4LC Studios for other jobs that weren't just weddings, and took those whenever I could here and there. I worked a lot of hours. Worked a lot of hours knowing that it was what I wanted to do, and it would take a part-time sacrifice of time to make it happen. So that's kind of how I built that side of it. And then trying to think of all these dates here, crazy amount of dates. In January of 2016, I went to my boss at the time at the church and told him, listen, like, I don't really think this is going to work out. It's tough for me because my wife, we just had a baby and my wife can't work, and I wasn't necessarily making enough money at the church to fully support Kelsey and I, which is why I still have to do 4LC Studio stuff, and it just was not going to be easy for me to continue doing this the time, and I had a kid now, and things were just tough. So I said, I think we need to make a transition plan possibly out of this. So we kind of all agreed that's what we were going to do, and I started talking with the bosses behind the scenes and figuring out what that might look like, and then they said, you know what, here's just the reality. We know that you leaving is going to mean that we have to hire someone new, and we want to at least offer this to you and see what you think. And they offered me a raise to stay. And I remember at the time that the raise was super, super grace, like, was super gracious of them to do. And it meant that I would be able to pay all of our bills without a problem. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? This last year of nonstop wedding edits and filming and then doing all the stuff at the church, like, it's exhausting. So maybe since I'm going to get this job at the church, maybe it was like God's way of telling me, you know, let go of 4LC Studios because, you know, the job was going to work out for me at the church. So I kind of like really like thought about it a lot and prayed about it a lot and was kind of like, if this is really, really what you want me to do, then, you know, shut down all the doors possible at 4LC Studios so that I know that this is kind of where you want me to be. And then I'll do that. Like, if I was supposed to be at the church, you know, make it really clear and just shut down everything else in my business. And the entire opposite thing happened. Over the next year, all of 2016. I started getting more weddings, more opportunities, more things, and I was working more hours than anything, and I was working 80, 90, 100 hours a week just trying to make things happen. Kelsey would occasionally help me edit weddings. There was so much going on, I can't even think about it now. And I remember being like, man, this is, I really love this. And more importantly, my wife started to go and visit her family in Arizona and in California and different places during Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and all these times that if you work at a church, you can't get off during those times because those are really busy seasons. So I used to have to watch her go to California by herself and Arizona by herself with our child. And I could never go because I had to be at the church. And I remember getting done with that Christmas service, December 2016, and taking the week after Christmas off and settling back into the office January of 2017 and being like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, it's becoming really exhausting. I just can't fathom continuing to make this all happen by myself and working a full-time job, editing the weddings. Like, it's just not happening. And I love video too much. I love my business too much. I love the opportunity that I have to continue to grow and, more importantly, get all the time that I need to do what I want with my time, being able to go with Kelsey to visit family, being able to have freedom to do those kind of things. I need to go full-time into my business, 4LC Studios. I loved the church. I told myself over and over, like, there's no amount of money they can pay me, because this isn't about money. At that time, they were paying me good, which was not an issue. I had great relationships with the people. It was nothing about that. It came down to simply being like, you know what? I want to work full-time for 4LC Studios because I want time. Like, time was the most important thing to me. So I went to them that next week and I said, listen, it's been a really great year. I really, really appreciate the raise. I appreciate everything you guys have done. I appreciate the leadership, the opportunities you've given me to do all these kind of things. Everything has been everything that I could imagine. But still, I've really thought about over this last year as I've continued to do it after we talked last year. And I just think it's time for me to move on. I think that 4LC Studios is just kind of where I want to be for the time that I need with my family, for all the situations. And I said, I'm not quitting on you today. I said, I'm happy to help you put plans in place, and I'm happy to help train whoever is going to be coming on board. I'm happy to do anything to make the transition as smooth as possible. So that was January 2017, and I told them that, you know, I can help out at the minimum or the maximum, I forget what I said, through May of 2017. I said, for the next 5 months, I'm happy to help this transition. I can lead, I can train, I can sit back, do whatever you want. I'll help during this time. And they said, okay. So we started to put other things in place. They decided on a person that they hoped could help make that happen. And that was the non-wedding season. So it was possible for me to kind of keep doing it for a couple more months to help them out. And also it helped me out financially too. And I started to put things in place. And in early 2017, as I'm making all these decisions, I'm obviously looking at finances and looking at all the things that are happening with 4LC Studios. I'm at that point, I'm already using, you know, client management software. So it's important for me because I was like looking at how much money, how many weddings I had still coming up, how much money I still had guaranteed to come in, all those pieces. That was super important. It was so important that I started keeping track of those things early in my business because it was the way that I could actually know that I could afford to quit my job. So I went full-time May 1st of 2017 into 4LC Studios, and I was pumped. I mean, I already had a lot of weddings, so I already had a safety net in terms of money. Kelsey and I really felt like it was the right decision. She wasn't working a job at that time. She had stopped because she had to be home with her daughter, and I just felt like I could build a business to be able to make us enough money to live. So I started working like crazy, trying to make that happen, getting as many weddings as I could, reaching out different photographers, different people, just trying to build up referral bases and just continue to see it grow, and did 25 or 28 weddings in 2017 and started to do a lot of that. So come early 2018, which was basically a year ago from today, I started to realize, like, I wanted to, obviously, I loved filming weddings. I loved being a part of that. I loved all that kind of stuff, but I really wanted to continue to try to see, like, what other options I could help expand the business, because I didn't want there to be off seasons. You know, if you're working full time for yourself, you don't want an off season. So I started to explore the options of possibly getting some commercial work and reaching out to different people with that side of things and trying to figure out how I could, like, get more work that isn't just weddings, and started to do that more and more. And at the time, in May 2017, I haven't even, in this story, I haven't brought, obviously, Pablo even into the mix yet, but I met Pablo early back in Pennsylvania at my original church right when I moved back 2013. So we were talking, we had kind of had conversations about that, became good friends through all that. So that just so you know where he came about. So he was working with me basically from day one of me going full time. He wasn't working like a salary-based agreement. It was more of, he was kind of into video stuff and just kind of into business stuff as well. So we were kind of just naturally working together. We had fun working together. We were building a good relationship, and we were just filming stuff. We were having a lot of fun doing it. So when when 2018 came about, I started to take on a lot of other work other than weddings. I realized there's a business to be made in commercial work as well. There's just lots of opportunity for this as well, and I don't want to not do it. This is important too. I keep bouncing around. I'm sorry. May 2017, when I went full time into my business, the day that I went full time, I made an absolute pact to myself and point that I was going to vlog and create YouTube content and just build what I was trying to build on YouTube as well. So I vlogged day one. You can still watch that vlog on my YouTube channel. I love the fact that I have vlogs from every single day that I've been a part of just building this journey. It's just awesome for me to watch. So I started vlogging that same day, May 1st, 2017. That's kind of when I started my YouTube channel. And been vlogging ever since, not daily, but a lot of videos, 355 videos now in the last 20 months. And so I started doing that. That was a lot of fun. Been just kind of documenting the journey throughout it, all that stuff. So mid last year, so May 2018, 1 year after I went full-time into 4LC Studios, I realized there was definitely business to be made with commercial work. And it was definitely something I wanted to start exploring, because I felt like I was really starting to understand certain things in terms of how to get the work, how to get them a great product, how to get them the desired result they wanted from it, how to sell, how to brand, how to create YouTube brand, how to create personal brand, how to do all those things. I felt like I really understood and was starting to really understand how I could help companies out. So I started getting more and more clients through my personal brand, through YouTube, through LinkedIn, all these places. I started to get clients from this. And throughout that time, I realized, like, man, this is really hard, because I have, like, our Instagram is, it's all weddings. And the website, when you land on it, 4LCstudios.com, it says weddings are commercial. And the commercial people don't really want to see weddings. The wedding people don't really want to see commercials. It's just hard. Like, it's hard to balance those two things. It's hard to have a company that does those two things. I really feel like it would be better off ultimately if I built a commercial brand that was out of weddings. So that 4LC Studios could be weddings, and I need another company that can be commercial work. So over the next 6 months, I started to hire some different people, as you saw in the vlog, if you follow the vlog. Different people came on board. I had someone temporarily, I hired someone temporarily that was literally just going to help create tons of my YouTube content, and that's it. I even started a Patreon in the middle of that, which some of you may know. I canceled it 24 hours later. Decided that it just didn't fit with what I was trying to do, and it was really confusing to people, and I wanted people to know that it wasn't about the money to me. So I canceled that, I didn't fire the person, but I didn't hire them like on a salary anyway. It was more of just uncertain things. So he's still working with me now. I started to realize there was more and more opportunities for things, and Pablo and I were doing more and more commercial work and really liking it. So maybe 3 months ago from today, I was brainstorming different names, brainstorming different things that I could do and figuring out what I could call it and how important was the name, and should it include my name? Should it not include my name? Should it be studio? Should it be a creative? Should it be like just all these things that you go through, just trying to figure out all those pieces. Eventually land on a name that I really thought fit us really well. And I really wanted that name, but it was really important to me that I could get the actual website name, all the Instagrams, the Twitters, everything. I wanted everything to actually have the exact name, not like a piece of it with, you know, underlined slashes and dashes. And I wanted it to be the name. And the name that I had settled on just wasn't available. I inquired about buying the domain name. They wanted a lot of money for it, so I ended up just not getting it at all. So you'll never know what that name even was. But I'm actually happy with the name that I chose now, but in general, I couldn't get it. So I went back to the drawing board of just figuring out what it looked like, and then decided that, you know what? I think there's obviously commercial work that I can do and I can do well in terms of video production. But more importantly, I feel like I know a lot more than just video production. I feel like I'm really a business guy. I feel like there's more that I can offer to clients than just video production. Video production is one piece of a company creating enough brand and attention for themselves. Video is a given, but understanding social media really well, understanding the importance of targeted marketing, understanding where underpriced attention was, stuff that I was learning a ton from guys like Gary Vee and so many people. I became obsessed with understanding how important all these things were. And all the clients that I was working with were seeing success from the things I was doing, that I thought to myself, you know what? With this new company I'm going to launch, I don't need it to be just video production. That will be the main piece. That will be a required piece that you have to hire us for. But if you hire us for those things, you should also be able to get other things as well that aren't just video production. Social media management, graphic design, branding, consulting, a little bit of all those things. I felt like, you know what? I can offer it because I truly understand it. I wasn't offering it just because it was like, I want to be an all-in-one shop and hopefully they only hire us for this because we're really not good at the other things. It's everything that my company offers, I feel like I can do well where I won't offer it. And that's kind of where we're at, is I decided I wanted it to be something that really fit with, you know, the idea of it. We're a creative agency and we want to help companies scale. We want to help them grow. We want to help them build brand. And so we started toying around with a ton of different names, and we went back and forth with a bunch of different things and eventually landed on Scaling Creative. And right when that kind of came out of my mouth, I was like, I like that. Let's see if it's available. I went to the domain place. It was available. I went to Instagram, it was available. I went to Twitter, it was available. I went to Facebook, it was available. LinkedIn, it was available. I looked into whether that was an actual LLC, it was available. Everything was. And then I went on YouTube and typed in Scaling Creative. And if you know me, you know I'm obsessed with Gary Vee because he's changed my life, but I typed in Scaling Creative on YouTube. And the very first video that came up was actually like an Ask Gary Vee episode that obviously just that came about with the searchability of what was in the description and the title, that I was like, I think this is just meant to be. But that's where we're at today. Like, Scaling Creative is now existing. and I'm so incredibly excited about it. But even talking about this whole story for the last 45 minutes is just, I hope it's inspiration to you, because my YouTube channel has been about documenting my journey. This podcast is about documenting the journey and also helping you and bringing other people on board as well to talk. But I hope this inspires you for a couple of reasons. I hope you realize, number one, that everything you want to do in life requires dedication. It requires hard work. It requires a passion for actually loving the process of it. And also, I hope it inspires you because there's probably a lot of you that were where I was 3 years ago. You may have just started picking up a camera and you're thinking to yourself, man, I love like video and I love filming and I love all this kind of stuff, but I don't have any clients yet and I'm not making any money yet. And it just seems like it's such a far way away and I have to get some job that I don't like. And you have to realize, if you really, really, really want to do it, go hard at it. Understand that even if you take on a crappy job just to make money so that you can build your business, it's worth it. Like, I'm 33 years old right now and I don't feel any different than I did when I was 20. I remember when I was 20, I used to look at people that were 30 and be like, they're finished. They don't have any time left. And I feel so incredibly fired up right now with life at 33 that I'm like, man, we're just getting started. So I hope it inspires you that if you just picked up a camera, like, go for it. Think about all the opportunities you have and learn and get better at everything you do and meet people and network and work for people and whatever it is. Practice your craft. Get better at it. Be around people that inspire you to do more. And know that, like, it's possible. It really is possible. And it's a lot of fun. And I hope that my channel helps you in some way, whether it's through this episode of how I did it or through some of the other videos. I want to inspire people to go after what they really want to go after, because I decided in 2015 I really liked video and it was something I wanted to do. And in 2019, I'm launching my second business. And it's because I just have gone after what I wanted to do. And I have tirelessly pursued not quitting and deciding I wanted to do something big. And I hope it inspires you to do the same thing. That's my journey to how I got to scaling creative. It's crazy. Just fun to even talk about. Thanks for listening.